Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
A special report on the relations between Lutherans and Muslims in My Muslim Neighbor. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I am Jamie Krieger, and I am the Associate Pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a southeastern suburb of the Greater London. At Christ Church, we hold services every Sunday morning at 10:30. Pastor John Ehlers and I are also co-vacancy pastors of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Harlow, Essex, where the services take place on Sundays at 11 a.m. For Bible study times, as well as other activities and missions sponsored by these congregations, go to lutheran.co.uk and find us under directory. I am also Lutheran Radio UK's manager and would like to hear your opinions on our entire range of programs. So send me an email on manager@lutheranradio.co.uk. Welcome to the second half of this documentary on the relationship between Lutherans and Muslims. We're talking with Dr. Brent Smith, who is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Regional Director for Eurasia. Dr. Smith, today we would like to begin by asking how much history, politics, and tradition influence our conversations with our Muslim neighbors. And to refresh the memory of our listeners, what was the issue at stake in Luther's day with the Ottoman Empire?
Well, at that time, it was in a period where the Ottoman Empire was expanding and trying to expand into more and more lands, not just the so-called Christian lands. But yeah, for sure, 1529, they were coming up the Danube trying to take Vienna. And so it was, some scholars would characterize, it was one of the second violent waves of Islamic expansion, the Arab wave and then the Ottoman wave. Other scholars would say, well, that was part of it, but as that should be identified more with the empire issues than with the Islamic religion. And Luther himself did say and was convinced, especially early on, that many people were converting in his day to Islam because of its teaching, not because of the force. Although later on, Martin Luther, for sure, called Christians not to underestimate the expanse and the threat at that time of the Ottoman Empire.
There were alliances back then between European and Islamic countries, just as there are commercial alliances between these countries today, which, among other things, God makes possible so that we might be able to witness our faith to and among them. But it seems that so many times we are unsuccessful. Where are we failing and why?
Politics plays a large role, and I think we should question if we're failing or not. Speaking with a worker who's been in a Muslim-majority country for a couple decades, says that he feels that country is more open now than ever, that there's more exchange, more civil discussions among common people, among academics, than there ever has been in the 20 years that he's been in that country. Yes, there are challenges. There's challenges with extremism. There's challenges with violence, non-assimilation. There's those challenges that are out there. But I think that it looks like more and more Muslims and Christians are taking a step forward to talk about what are the issues. And they're starting to put their fear aside, their stereotypes, and they're starting to do what we see actually, if you think back to the New Testament. Let me give an example and challenge the hearer to think about this. We all know that the Apostle Paul come out of a context, out of a majority religion. The majority religion at that time was Judaism. They had the Old Testament scriptures. There wasn't a church on every corner. You had the temple before it was destroyed in 70 AD. But you had synagogues, right? This was the assembly place. This was the place where they went to hear God's word. Paul was converted on the road to Damascus. Christ confronted him, changed his heart, opened his eyes, and he turned into the Apostle Paul. The New Testament church was born. Pentecost happened. The Holy Spirit sent them out with this powerful message that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And they went sharing that. Now, Paul did not forget about that majority religion and its institutions. He actually went back into those institutions, to the synagogues, and when he was asked, he stood up and he spoke. I think, and I've observed this, where Christians are being invited and Muslims are being invited into the assembly places to have a civil, respectful discussion. And I would encourage Christians to do just that, to, if as they're invited, or have a Muslim friend who can speak with their leadership, to go in and ask questions in mosques of imams, and try to break down those barriers of fear, of anger, and listen to what they have to say.
Can we talk a little bit about demographics? What is the world's Muslim population?
I would probably refer the hearer to a recent research that I have come across. It's actually free. It's online. It's from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. It was just put out. It's an analysis from January 2011, and it has projections from 2010 through 2030, the future of the global Muslim population. Fascinating, some of the results that they project. You know, currently it looks like the Muslim population, about 1.6 billion people.
What's that percentage against Christianity?
The statistics are interesting. You hear anywhere from 2 billion, 2.5. Sometimes it's hard to measure. Those are the statistics that I have seen from various sources. But this research from the Pew Forum, they predict that by 2030, for example, 26.4% of the world population will be Muslim if the demographics play out. Not 76, not 74, 26% of the world population. And they have statistics in there as well about what that could look like in various places. Of course, the largest amount of Muslim population is in the Asia-Pacific region, second in the sub-Saharan Africa, Middle East, and North Africa, and after that comes Europe and the Americas.
Now, talking about Europe, the largest Muslim population in Europe is located in Germany, where you are based. How is the work with the Muslim community in Germany coming?
Well, there's well over 1,000 mosques in Germany, and I'm sure the hearer is well aware of the presence of Muslims. Many of the people who came as guest workers a few decades ago have had the option and chosen to become citizens of Germany. And so I think there's still a challenge for Christians, who in this case are the majority population, to open up, to reach out, and to talk with many of the Muslims. There was in Frankfurt a Muslims Against Violence conference, and a number of people, about 50, 60, were there. And one of the panelists was a Christian Lutheran pastor from a congregation there in Frankfurt am Main. And the person in the crowd, a Muslim that had been in Germany for 20 years, stood up at the end and said, "Thank you very much." This was the first time that a Christian leader had approached him to talk about issues, not only about being against violence, but about other faith-based issues. So I think that's an example of what should take place. The Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church, the ZELK in Germany, recently hosted a Muslim woman to talk about what the Quran teaches about women in Islam. And this lady came and shared with some of their groups in the church. And that's the type of exemplar activity that Christians should be modeling throughout the Christian world. And one would hope as well in other countries where Muslims are the majority that a similar activity would take place.
I think it's fair to say that we are no longer talking about the people from the East, but our next-door neighbors. In which case, the questions are, do we know how to talk to these neighbors? How much do we understand each other? But these are questions we will address after our break. Stay tuned, because we will be right back.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the spread the word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Careful now, children. Have a good weekend, and don't forget to bring your homework on Monday morning.
Hey, Gabby, do you want to come and play with us?
Cool. When?
Sunday morning.
Sorry, I can't. I got Sunday school.
School on Sunday? Don't you get bored?
Do I get bored of learning how much Jesus loves me? Of course not.
How about homework?
I love it, because Sunday school is about Jesus' work for us.
Bring your children to Sunday school. Our Sunday schools are all about Jesus and to all God's children. Find out where your nearest Lutheran congregation is on lutheran.co.uk.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Welcome back. You are listening to My Muslim Neighbor here on Lutheran Radio UK. And we are talking to Dr. Brent Smith. Dr. Smith is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Regional Director for Eurasia, and he is speaking to us about his work with Muslims. Dr. Smith, could you give us a list of things we should know about Muslims that will help us improve our relationship with them and further our conversations?
Well, I think, you know, there's some just very basic practical suggestions. I mean, they're people. They're people that they're listening, they're watching. If you're wearing, you know, if you're wearing a cross, if you're saying you're a Christian, they're watching. How are you acting? What's in your grocery cart? Are you saying hello to them? What's your language like? You know, these practical things. For sure, they have concerns like any human being has concerns. They like free speech, free, responsible speech. They're concerned about the health care and their children. If a child gets sick, how they can get them treated. I think that for sure we need to understand that the basic pillars, you know, of Islam, the basic teachings, you know, they have a creed, a basic creed that they confess that, you know, Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet. They should perform ritual prayers 5 times a day, fast during the month of Ramadan. So you might want to look up online, when's Ramadan coming, and see, is your Muslim friend that's next door, you know, in the time of Ramadan, a time of fasting. The almsgiving, the zakat that they are called to do also, that they give out of their accumulated wealth to the poor and needy, or to help the spread of Islam, be aware that that teaching is there. The Hajj, the pilgrimage that they are called to take place in. This is the basic things that one should be aware of. Fascinating to me that Muslims do have a keen sense that God is all-powerful and omnipresent, and that that he's a holy God, that there is such a thing as sin and an awareness of it. And so I think that when you're in the grocery store, when you're in those areas where your life intersects with people of other faith, that one should engage them in conversation and ask them about their culture and their background and in a pleasant way. And one thing that I always enjoy about going through Turkey, for example, and other countries is they like to smile. And isn't it amazing how much anxiety and fear is diffused when you see a smile on a person's face? Are you smiling when you look at your neighbor and giving them signs of openness and willingness to talk?
The common reasoning is often that those who come to live in our country should also learn and adopt our ways, but rarely do we think along the lines of learning from them. They are observing us, as you said. But what could we, who live in a post-Christian society, learn from them?
Well, just to back up a bit, it is a two-way street. It's not a one-way. I think as we listen and learn, we should also feel free to appropriately express our deep convictions, what the society is, and the values that it has, that we should be sharing them as well, so that it's not just a one-way adoption of new laws that would discriminate against women or others. That and you see in some Muslim majority countries where you know a very extreme form of interpretation has very rigid laws. Recently debated in Pakistan, right, the blasphemy laws, and what's happening to Muslim governors that. We're trying to repeal those laws. And so I think that just as we are called to listen, we're also called to speak for values. I think it's very important to compare, and I would challenge the listeners to compare what is their values. How does that compare to ancient sacred texts like the scriptures? And has the culture, the post-Christian culture, went so far away from God and from faith, that I would say it's a call to return to looking at those roots of what brought Europe to the place it is today. I think we have to be challenged that the head and the heart is not something that's easily discovered. And just the clothes that people wear, the color of their skin, how they speak, what type of English they use, or other language, may not be an indicator of their deep, heartfelt convictions. And just because someone's wearing a headscarf, for example, does not mean that they're necessarily a Muslim. A lot of Eastern Christians wear scarves. So, for example, you know, symbols can change their meanings. I find it fascinating in the English Standard Version. If you look back into their original priesthood, you know, pastors, as we call them today, priests in Exodus chapter 29, verse 6, actually, this establishment of the priesthood, the priests wore turbans. Isn't that fascinating?
Very interesting.
I mean, I'm a clergy in the Lutheran Church. I haven't worn a turban lately, but many people would associate that with a totally different religion. And yet, at this time in the Old Testament, that's what they wore in that culture. And so, I would challenge people to really try to get at people's hearts. And that requires a respectful conversation, not just monologue, but a dialogue. And it's a fascinating discovery as people start to pour out their concerns. We have right now literally hundreds of people who are approached, who are Christians living in the Muslim majority world, who have been approached to be asked to pray in the name of Jesus for a sick child, for a well that has went dry in that agricultural community. So the challenge is to communicate. Just as God went searching for his creation, Adam and Eve, in the beginning when they sinned against him, when they did things they should not have done, so too we should reach out and look for others to communicate, to share the promise, the love that God gives us in Christ Jesus.
Is there a place or a time that is more suitable for us to bear witness of our faith to Muslims?
Yeah, I think so. Public debates have not proved to be very fruitful. I think what we should do is take the example of Jesus himself. If you recall John chapter 4, you know, he was at a well, a natural place where people get water. And he started a conversation. It's a conversation in this case, not with a Jew, not with a Gentile, with a Samaritan woman. And the conversation continued, and it was questioned and answers and discovery, and Jesus gave just bits and pieces of information, of truth about himself, and the aha moment came. The Samaritan woman.
So you're actually speaking of a day-to-day thing, an actual involvement with the neighbor?
A very natural.
Out in the field.
Out in the field, yeah. During break at work, during lunch, in the grocery store, when you're there picking up your kids, interacting as parents, waiting for them to get out of the school activities. It's very important, I think, to be natural. And you notice it wasn't until later in the New Testament that people were in Antioch were called Christians. And so we see back to John chapter 4, you know, Jesus revealed himself. He revealed who he was to this Samaritan woman. She went back to her village, if you recall the story, and the whole town, many of them, came to faith in Jesus. There are many Muslims that are coming to faith in a broader understanding of who Jesus is, and they're not always labeled right away Christians. There may be some apprehension. So I'd encourage in the conversation not to go with labels, but to just go with communicating Jesus in a natural way, in a place that's comfortable both for the person who's hearing and for you who is sharing.
So it's not only a matter of the right place and time, but a matter of time. It takes time to get the message across, if you like.
It takes time. Few of us, none of us, were in our early years understanding, reading probably the Book of Concord from 1580, the confessional documents of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. Many of us were not able to maybe articulate or even pray from memory the Lord's Prayer when we were younger. And so it takes time, and we should just share the word appropriately with the people and let them absorb it, and let God open their eyes to that next step in their faith as they mature and being led into all truth.
And the best time to start that is?
Today.
Thank you, Dr. Smith, for speaking to us. If our listeners wanted to know more about the work you do with Muslims in Eurasia and even support it, what should they do?
If people would like more information, I encourage them to contact their local church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church here in England, the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church in Germany, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, www.lcms.org, based out of St. Louis, Missouri in the United States. Most of our connections in the Muslim majority world are in partnership with universities and academies. So the Concordia University System, 10 Lutheran universities in the United States. I would encourage the hearer to contact also the professors and those universities. And as far as prayer support, as all people of faith understand prayer, God speaks. We hear him speak in his word, and we respond back to him, echoing his word, but also praying for one another. And so I'd ask that the people would continue to keep us and the workers throughout the world in their prayers. And for financial support, again, you can go to www.lcms.org or call 1-800-433-3954 in the United States.
And finally, what message would you leave to us Christians of this place as we engage with our Muslim neighbors?
God has called us to love him and to love our neighbor. And love is it's a verb. It's an action. Go out and find a Muslim friend today and start the conversation. Remember that at one time, like Paul, like others, we were against God, away from God, separated from God, but God sent someone to share his word with us. And so too, I would call and challenge all the Christians that are in this place to rediscover the word of God and to go forth and share his word with others.
I would like to hear your comments and suggestions and also any questions you might have about the issues we approached in this program and on Lutheran Radio UK's entire range of shows. Send an email to me, Pastor Jamie Krieger, to manager@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcasts of this series are available on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. Lutheran Radio UK is the radio station of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. For information about our congregations, go to lutheran.co.uk and click on directory. I hope and pray that you would be encouraged by our broadcast to learn more about the Lutheran exposition of the Holy Scriptures. I would like to invite you to visit the nearest Lutheran congregation to you and partake with your family in our worship services, Bible studies, and Sunday schools. Check our program online and stay tuned for our next shows. God's blessings to you, and goodbye for now.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Check our program times online at lutheranradio.co.uk and stay tuned. All of our programs are broadcast on Greenwich Mean Time. Look up our website for the times in your region.